part two. You're listening to another episode of
Total Talk Nonsense
with John and Scott.
John and Scott with you, episode 68, part two.
Dude, that was awesome. All right, put all my shit down.
All right, AKC's Total Talk Nonsense with John and Scott. I'm John.
And I'm Scott.
Come on, get back to your seat. Oh, yeah. That was us, man. God, you got a hot ass, dude.
Thanks,
man. Oh, yeah.
I've been working on it.
Whoa!
Sorry, man.
Nice feedback, dude.
You know, like,
abs of steel. I have that videotape, yeah.
That was some kick-ass guitar playing, dude.
Oh, yeah, no doubt.
Did you hear my kick-ass drumming?
Oh, that was... Well, the thing is, we haven't rehearsed that. We didn't practice or anything. The last time I played that song was probably 7 years ago.
12 years ago? Yeah, 7, 12, whatever. Yeah, man, that was awesome. Did you hear my set making all weird noises and stuff? It's because the mics were on, so you could hear me hitting all the pads.
Oh, right.
You'd hear all these weird click, 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 click. Yeah. All right. We're back. We're rocking. We're your whatever. We're back to entertain you.
And that is totally cool, the drum set, man. We need to get Rick here or somebody else here, and we could put on a little gig.
Well, I put it out to Special Ed, because Special Ed used to be a poser. He used to play, like, Iron Maiden and stuff.
Guitar?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. I said, can you still do it? Can you jam? He's like, oh, yeah.
Run to the hills, man. Yeah. Run to the hills.
Run to the hills. Yeah, maybe I could play a little guitar too.
Yeah.
I don't know any songs.
I could play drums.
You could sing too and play guitar. I can't do that. It's too hard.
It's really not.
For me, it is. I could play drums and sing, but I can't play guitar and sing. I can't do it. I've tried my best, and I can't do it.
It's interesting because when I play drums, I cannot sing.
Really?
Yes, because I'm when I play drums, I do this. So when if the mic is in front of me and I'm playing them, you hear.
Rick does the same thing, but playing guitar. We were listening back to some tracks when we were in the studio. Oh, yeah, which reminds me. I told you we might be in a real studio.
That's right.
I told you that, right? Mm-hmm. Anyway, so, yeah, we were listening back to some scratch tracks. So Rick would sing and play guitar at the same time so I could lay my drums down in the real studio, you know? And we listened back to the scratch track of Rick singing. And he would sing, and he'd do that same thing. And he'd clink his teeth together to the beat. Yeah. It's like, what are you doing? It's just keeps him, you know, keeps him in sync, I guess.
Keeps him in sync.
In sync with the music.
Well, we did get a couple of emails. Nothing that we can talk about, though, on the air.
Right.
Secret emails.
Secret stuff.
Private messages. Did we get any phone messages?
Yeah, we did.
Sweet. I love the phone messages. And give out our number so people can call in.
The phone number of the TTN hotline is 847-886-4493. 847-886-4493. Or if you want to type it in, it's 847-886-4493. TTNGIZD, that's 847-TTN-GIZD. Or just call 847-886-4493. All right, let's see what we got here. I know we got some phone calls. At least two.
Two that we know of.
Two that we know of, right. Let me turn this shit off, okay. We got one from the word whore.
The word whore?
Yeah,
you
know the show Air Out My Shorts? We were talking about that
earlier.
And she left a message. I haven't heard it yet.
All right, let's play it.
Here it is.
Oh, wow.
I can't make out what she's saying.
That's a pretty bad smoker's call. How do you know that's from Air Out My Shorts? How do you know that's from the word whore? She never said hello. She never said this is the word whore.
Yeah, because I recognize the number.
Oh, you recognize the number. So she's called us before.
Yeah. She made some reference on her last show about me being fat.
Oh, did she?
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh.
Well, at least I could lose the weight. She'll never be able to lose hers.
Her weight or her cough?
No, that oxygen tank she's going to have to carry around the rest of her life.
All right.
Up the stairs and shit.
You're sensitive, aren't you?
No.
You're not?
No.
Oh.
Why do you say that?
I don't know. You just seem so sensual.
Sensual or sensitive?
Isn't it the same thing?
No, I don't think so. Is it?
We'll have to get the word whore involved. Yeah. She'll know.
She'll know, yeah. And then we got this other call from a guy named Pete. Who
Pete.
I've never heard of before. I guess he's a fan of the show. Let's hear what he has to say.
Okay.
This is Pete Fortune, and I don't understand the show. I really don't appreciate you homos making fun of the Lord. It's not very funny. I also appreciate watching Fred Phelps. He's one of my favorite broadcasters. And you guys are a bunch of jerks. I don't think I don't think you should have a show on the air or internets or whatever you want to call it. But I think you all burn in hell. It's blasphemous what you do. Please stop this. It's terrorism with this crap that you're putting on me. I don't appreciate it. Goodbye.
That's ridiculous. Pete Fortune?
Pete Fortune.
You just don't download it anymore.
Yeah.
Come on.
You big baby.
Big baby. And why is our show blasphemous? We have the Lord on our show. The Lord comes on our show.
It comes on our show.
We treat the Lord with respect.
Respect.
John.
That's right. We don't ask him questions like why he has a penis. Oh, yeah, I did. I asked that question.
But that's a reasonable question. Why is that blasphemous to ask the Lord that?
He finally, that's probably on his FAQ, on his website.
On the Lord's website?
Yeah, I'm sure.
Does he have one?
Do you have a penis? You know, because it makes his slacks look good. I don't know. Yeah, I'm sure he does. Why wouldn't he? Wouldn't you think the Lord has a website, maybe a MySpace account? We'll have to ask him.
I think he's just getting into the internets.
Yeah?
Yeah. I don't think he has a website.
We'll have to check that out. Maybe he has a MySpace account.
But Fred Phelps, do we have any Fred Phelps clips? Because that guy's...
Yeah, we do.
That guy's great, man. I love that guy,
too. You
want
to hear that?
Yeah.
Here we go.
Maybe
Fred
we can get Pete back
comedian
as a fan.
John Stewart and his hooligan sidekick, Stephen Colbert, of the Comedy Central TV network, are two mockers and scoffers who like to blaspheme God and Westboro Baptist Church. At the Emmy Awards nonsense last week, Colbert began his silliness by bellowing out at the audience,
what?
Good evening, godless sodomites.
Good evening, godless sodomites.
America has become a nation of godless sodomites who mock and scoff about their sodomite sins, thereby demonstrating that America is a nation of fag-enabling fools, because only fools make a mock at sin, Proverbs 14:9. It also demonstrates that the exact same moral conditions that prevailed in ancient Sodom in 1898 B.C. now prevail in America.
Why are they all hillbillies?
I don't know, but he talks about John Stewart and Stephen Colbert, and you could switch that with John and Scott. I'm really having a hard time. He even mentioned nonsense in there. Was he talking about Total
Talk?
He could have been talking about Total Talk Nonsense.
I didn't pick up on that.
Now, if this Lord thing is true, and we are sodomites, and we're whatever he said, would God come back, and then it would be like Armageddon, right? It'd be Armageddon?
Right, yeah.
So possibly. John Stewart, Stephen Colbert, John and Scott from TTN would be bringing about Armageddon. Wouldn't that be something?
Yeah.
Too bad there won't be a history after Armageddon, because it's the end of the world, because we could go down in history as bringing on Armageddon.
Well, no, then there'd be a new Jesus, another begotten son that would travel the earth and explain what happened.
Oh, I thought Armageddon, it was over. It was done. That's it.
That's it?
That's it.
Oh.
The rapture, man. There's no more life on earth after the Armageddon.
Oh, so it's just earth. So God only wipes out earth.
Yes.
That's it.
Just earth.
So the Jesus freaks just think there's Earth only and there is no other planets, there is no galaxy.
Of course there's other planets and galaxies, universe. But there's no other life on other planets. Everybody knows that.
How do you know?
How do you not know?
You never know. I know. There's no proof either way, I guess.
Right. Nobody knows. No proof, so there's no life.
There's no life.
We are the only intelligent beings on the planet, John.
So how do you know it's over after Armageddon? It really doesn't specify what happens.
It does in the Bible. Don't you read the Bible?
Yeah, but it doesn't say it's the end of the earth.
It's the end of days, end of times. Time stops. There's no more time. There's no more nothing.
What would be the point? Then God destroys himself?
He doesn't destroy himself. Just the The humans, John.
Then he has nobody to worship him anymore. Therefore, he doesn't need to exist.
No, then all the good humans, like this guy who just talked. What's his name? Phelps?
Yeah.
He's going to walk with God for eternity. And all the rest of us will be
on a leash?
In hell with Satan, John.
On a leash?
That's how it works. Oh.
All right. You do a lot more talking to God than I do.
Damn straight.
Yeah. You're going to become one of them Jesus freaks. Blaspheme.
Well, as long as you're talking about religion, have you heard about the Pope, John? The Pope?
Yeah, I heard he went off on the Muslims.
Yeah, I got a little timeline here. So on Tuesday, Pope Benedict was hit out at the Muslims and its concept of holy war during a visit to his Bavarian homeland. A thinly veiled attack on extremes. I am really struggling tonight, John.
You're not even drinking.
Right. Maybe I need something. A thinly veiled attack on extremists. Veiled, right.
Is it veiled or veiled?
I don't know. Ask the word whore. Islam's justification for the terrorism came during the theological lecture to staff and students at the University of Regensburg. Using the words jihad and holy war, the Pope quoted criticisms of the Prophet Muhammad by a 14th century Byzantine Christian Emperor Manuel, or do you say Manuel?
Or Manuel.
Or Manuel. Show me just what Muhammad brought that was new and there.
Wait a minute, I thought he was German.
I'm quoting Manuel, man.
Oh, sorry.
Show me just what Muhammad that was new and there you will find things only evil and inhuman, such as his command to spread the sword by the faith
the
he
flesh
preached.
Sword?
The Pope quoted the emperor in a speech to 1,500 students and faculty. He went on to say that violent conversion to Islam was contrary to reason and thus contrary to God's nature. Because we all know God's not violent, right, John?
Right.
Yeah, he doesn't smite anybody,
no,
does he?
No.
So then on Wednesday, this sets off outrage, John. So here's some headlines. Pope sets off outrage. Muslim worldwide react angrily to the pontiff's harsh words about Islam and jihad, raising fears of a violent new round of protests.
Oh, great.
Pakistan's legislature unanimously condemned Pope Benedict. Lebanon's top Shiite cleric demanded an apology. And in Turkey, the ruling party likened the pontiff to Hitler and Mussolini and accused him of reviving the mentality of the Crusades. Okay, so that was Wednesday. Then on Thursday, anger sweeping across the Muslim world, John. Pakistan's parliament unanimously adopted a resolution condemning the Pope for making what it called derogatory comments about Islam.
Really?
And demanded an apology. Middle Eastern leaders and analysts warned yesterday of a political violent backlash in the region.
My mission is to protect you.
To the Pope's remarks. The region, already blighted by brutal conflict, was at risk of further violence, John. And what did the Pope talk about? He talked about violence. And yeah, they're talking about risks about violence. Now, on Thursday, Pope Benedict was extremely upset that Muslims had been offended by some of his words in the recent speech. He was offended.
Yeah.
Okay, so later Thursday, here's some headlines. Islamics enraged with Pope. Another headline. Al Jazeera's Muslim scholar attacks the Pope. Indonesians march in support of Palestinians. Condemn the Pope. Pope Benedict produce Muslim violence over Muhammad. Muslims are rioting. They're calling for Pope the Hitler. Another headline, John. Mujahideen army threatens Pope with suicide attack. And then Somali Islamists urge Muslims to slay the Pope.
Whoa.
Okay, so the Pope said, quoting some guy from 1,500 years ago or whatever, this Manuel guy.
Manuel?
That, Islam's a little violent.
Yeah.
And what does Islam do? They just go ahead and back it right up.
Yep.
Yep, we're a little violent. So then on Friday, Pope's remarks sparks attacks. West Bank churches shot, firebombed. Palestinians wielding guns and firebombs attacked 5 churches in the West Bank and Gaza, following remarks by the Pope. An Italian nun was shot dead. at her mother and children at a mother and children's hospital by unidentified Somalian gunmen.
Wow.
Second Assyrian Christian killed in retaliation for Pope's remarks. It's crap.
Yeah.
Total crap. Pope Benedict tried on Sunday to calm Muslim anger with his remarks on Islam, saying he was deeply sorry about the reaction and that the medieval quotes he used on holy war did not reflect his personal views. Now, I think that's a cop-out statement right there. If you're going to use that crap in your speech, that's what your personal views are, right? He didn't say, he didn't pull that text into his speech and say, well, I don't believe in this, but this is what they say. This is what he said. He right. said that. It's like a Mel Gibson cop-out to me, John.
Yeah.
Head of the 1.1 billion Roman Catholics, John, worldwide. Here's what the Pope said. I am deeply sorry for the reactions in some
He's
countries
German.
To a few passages of my address at the University of Regensburg, which were considered offensive to the sensibility of Muslims. These, in fact, were a quotation from medieval texts which do not in any way express my personal thought. If they didn't express his personal thought, why would they be in there?
Dude, he's from the Hitler Youth Brigade. Why aren't you talking in a German accent?
But the how about those Islams, though? Just
backing it up, man.
Backing what he set up.
Oh,
we're... Manuel said 15, whatever, how many years ago. They're just backing it right up.
Yeah.
The Dutch, they make some cartoons with Muhammad,
yeah.
and they go crazy. They kill people.
So shut up!
So yeah. then they put something together in Iran, was it? Where they had cartoons of the Holocaust?
Yeah.
Do we care? Does anybody care?
No. Who cares?
Anybody outside of Islam care? No. Nobody cares. Nobody cares.
That's because they manipulate them with all that, man. That's how they get all these young recruits.
Here's how they get all the young recruits.
They dumb them down. They keep them dumb. And they keep them worshiping.
Keep them sexually depraved.
Yeah.
You know, we talked about this last week. In Saudi Arabia, they have religious police that make sure you're praying five times a day and make sure the women are completely covered up.
Yeah.
And any society that gets a hard-on over seeing a woman's ankle is fucked, John. In my opinion. And that's where all these delusional and weird comes from.
There's fetishes.
Well, yeah, there's fetishes, but 100% of the population gets a woody when they see a woman's ankle because
Absolutely.
It's like they've never seen anything like that before because they keep those women all wrapped up.
I love you.
You get some strip clubs over there. Get some westernization over in the Middle East.
Yeah.
We're not going to have these bombers.
Show some turkey.
This jihad.
Show us your turkey.
This crap.
Yeah.
No. It is crap,
yeah,
John.
Yeah, it is.
I'm retarded.
You also may be interested to know the origins of God is great, John?
Yeah, I do.
Allah Akbar? Allah Akbar? That means God is great. This is what you hear Muslims say all the time. All the time. The phrase, which is called tikbir, turns up again and again in religious contexts. For example, the call to prayer begins with four repetitions of Allah Akbar. Once you arrive at the mosque, Allah Akbar appears in the prayers as well. Muslims also say it after slaughtering an animal. And some whisper it, along with the rest of the call to prayer, into the ear of newborn babies. Allah Akbar isn't appropriate for all occasions, John. Do you know when you should not use Allah Akbar? Hello,
no,
John.
No, I don't.
A pious person wouldn't say it in the bathroom, nor would he use it in an impure place like a garbage dump. He might also frown upon its use in jokes. Did you know that, John? You can't use it in jokes.
No, I didn't know that.
Why not? I thought I had a good joke. Oh, I got one. John, knock, knock.
Nah, who's there?
Allah Akbar.
Allah Akbar who?
Gesundheit.
That's what the Pope would say because he's German. Gesundheit!
Some say that Allah Akbar has even made its way off the planet, a widely circulated urban legend.
Wow.
This wouldn't be urban legend. I think it would be an Arabic, Arabian legend. holds that the befuddled Neil Armstrong heard the words Allah Akbar and a call to prayer when he stepped onto the surface of the moon.
Really?
He converted to Islam, the story goes, when he returned to Earth and discovered the source of the phrase. The myth of Armstrong's conversion was so pervasive in the Muslim world that the U.S. State Department even issued a denial on the astronomer's behalf.
Oh, my God.
Allah Akbar.
Allah Akbar. What does that mean again?
It means...
God is good?
God is... Well, it means a couple of different things. God is great. That's the phrase that is often translated in newspapers, but the real translation is God is greater. The phrase implies that no matter what you are doing, you should always remember that God is still greater.
Do you think Muhammad has a penis?
Why wouldn't he?
I don't know.
Muhammad
what
walked
he
the earth,
for?
Didn't he?
I don't know.
You don't know about Islam, man.
I guess not.
Come on. Muhammad was like a descendant of Abraham, wasn't he?
Oh, so he was Jesus. He was like a Jesus.
Yeah, I guess so. He was a prophet, you know, the prophet Muhammad.
Right.
I don't know if he was God's kid, though, like Jesus, like the baby Jesus.
Like the G.
Like the G-man.
Like the J-man. The J-man.
Yeah, the J-man.
The J.
I call him the G-man, you know, for G, Jesus.
Like G's, G-E,
yeah,
G-Z.
The G-man.
Jesus.
G-Christ, I call him.
Jesus H.
A K-Fed, G-Christ.
That's awesome.
All right, John.
How do you spell Muhammad?
I don't know. Type it in Google. They'll tell you if you misspelled it.
Muhammad.
Got some celebrity news, Chad.
Yeah.
Get this. Jude Law, you know who that is?
No.
He's still angry over Rock Attack.
Who the hell is Jude Law?
Jude Law, he's an actor. He's in everything. He's in everything, John.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
British actor Jude Law is still seething over his Oscar night embarrassment last year. This is last year,
what?
John.
What?
When host Chris Rock made fun of the prolific star's relentless screen appearances. Law was initially unfazed by Rock's quips, but he became very infuriated when Rock sniped, "Who is Jude Law? Why, he's in every movie I've ever seen for the last 4 years. He's in everything. Even in the movies he's not in. If you look in the credits, he made cupcakes or something." What an outstanding Chris Rock read I do, don't I? All the King's Men star Law says, "At first I laughed because I didn't think he knew who I was. Then I got angry as his remarks became personal. My friends were livid. It's unfortunate I had 5 or 6 films come out at the same time." So he's crying about it.
Oh,
you're Jude
God.
Law. You're in every movie. You're making a better than decent dollar in Hollywood. And you're going to cry about a comment that was made.
I was joking. I knew who he was. That's why.
In jest. Over a year ago.
Big baby.
Big pussy.
Fag.
I think that's
Fagle.
That might be a British trait. Don't you think, John?
Yeah.
Big pussy.
Pussy.
Yeah. Also in the news, Katie cracks under pressure, John.
Katie who?
Katie Holmes has been so overwhelmed by pre-wedding jitters that the future Miss Tom Cruise has been lashing out at those around her.
Take it back!
No way.
Including the groom-to-be. She's so irritable and out of sorts in the days leading up to her nuptials, she began breaking out with cold sores and dissolving into tears at the drop of a hat.
When you said up to her nuptials, I was thinking her tits, you know, her nipples.
Katie has been plagued with cold sores, which are caused by a herpes virus since childhood. Stress can bring out the outbreak and the unsightly blisters. The wedding pressure finally got to her and left Katie a nervous wreck. For days, Katie and Tom walked on eggshells. It seemed like nothing he could say or do pleased her. Well, I know what that is. And making each decision over the wedding was sheer agony for her. Also in the news, Tom Cruise's attorney, not Tom Cruise, but his attorney denounces new accusations, John.
What are those?
Burt Fields, Tom Cruise's attorney, has called new accusations that Tom Cruise was involved in a homosexual affair utterly 100% false.
Yeah, right.
There's a new book coming out, and this guy, Brasi, says he was approached by a man trying to sell him a story about Cruise's sex life similar to the one that figured in the actor's successful lawsuit against gay porn actor Kyle Bradford.
Well,
yeah.
Why would this guy be so stupid as to come out and try to defame Cruz by saying he's gay and he's had a love affair with the guy, knowing that he's going to get sued?
Sell books. I don't know.
Oh.
Who knows?
So either it's true or it's not true.
Well, if somebody wrote a book about us, John, and said we were queer,
yeah,
I wouldn't give a rat's ass.
Me either.
Because I know it's true. I mean, not true. So it wouldn't bother me one bit. But you mention the word gay around Tom Cruise, and he calls his lawyers
out.
Yeah.
It's all nutso.
It's wacky. It's nutty, John. It's nutty. There's something nutty going on over there in the Cruise camp with Scientology and all. Oh, I have a Scientology story. So the Cruise, you know, he's been in Scientology for how long? He's probably at the top level or close to the top level.
Yeah.
So what does Scientology do? They develop a new program to get some more cash out of him.
Really?
Yeah. Here's the new program. Are you ready for the
new
program?
That's genius. That's fucking genius.
This guy, Matt Feshbach, believes he has superpowers, John. He senses danger faster than most people. He appreciates beauty more deeply than he used to.
He's got spidey senses?
Yeah, and he says he outperforms his peers in the money management industry.
Wow.
He heightened his powers of perception in 95 when he went to Los Angeles and became the first and so far only public Scientologist to take a highly classified Scientology program called Superpower. Where in LA did he do this? Just in Los Angeles is all Feshbach will say. Superpower is that secret. Under wraps for decades, John, Superpower is now being prepped for its eventual rollout into Scientology's massive building in downtown Clearwater. That will be the only place worldwide where the program, much anticipated by Scientologists, will be offered. And Cruz has probably already written his check to take this stupid class. A key aim of Superpower is to enhance one's perceptions, and not just the five senses we all know, John, hearing, sight, touch, taste, and smell. Scientology founder L. Ron Hubbard taught that people have 57 preceptics. They include the ability to discern relative stress, blood circulation, balance, compass direction, temperature, gravity, and an awareness of importance and unimportance. Superpower uses machines, apparatus, and specifically designed rooms to exercise and enhance a person's so-called perceptics. Those machines include an anti-gravity simulator.
So a preceptic would be one that's septic wannabe.
Right, a preceptic. And a gyroscope-like apparatus that spins a person around while blindfolded to improve perception of compass direction.
This is the most fucked up thing I've ever heard.
A video screen that moves forward and backward while flashing images is used to hone a viewer's ability to identify subliminal messages. Hubbard promised Superpower would improve perceptions and put the person into a new realm of ability. He believed it would unlock abilities needed to spread Scientology across the planet.
I guess it's no different than holy water.
Feshbach, 52, and his two brothers became famous in investment circles during the 80s as the kings of short-selling stocks, essentially betting on stocks that would tank. At one point, the California-based Feshbach brothers managed $1 billion for clients. So this guy's got a load of cash.
Yeah.
And so Scientology's, hey, we need to come up with some other program because he's already a level 8 thetan or whatever the fuck.
Yeah.
Hey, I got an idea. Why don't we come up with this program called Superpower?
Get Cruz to come in here, man. That's worth a couple mil.
Oh, he offers an anecdote, personal experience. Okay, so he took the superpower, and here's his personal anecdote, right? He had just finished his preceptics training and was with the Los Angeles airport preparing to fly home to the Tampa area. He stood at a crosswalk with perhaps 20 others, including a woman and her son. Oops. An antsy boy, 6 or 7 years old. As the light turned green, the boy bolted into the street ahead of his mother. Feshbach perceived a pickup bearing down on the boy, driven by a young woman. He yelled and saved the boy's life by a quarter of an inch.
Wow.
Coincidence? Feshbeck doesn't think so. No one else saw the pickup, he says. He believes that through the superpower program, he elevated his preceptic abilities beyond those of the others at the crosswalk. His enhanced perceptions have played out numerous times since. Superpower takes weeks, not months, to complete, John, said Feshbeck. He would not discuss the specific machines and drills that former Scientologists are said to use to enhance perception.
Wow. Oh, God.
And a disclaimer at the end. Details of the superpower training have been kept secret, even from church members, John. Like much of Scientology, details aren't revealed until one pays to take the course.
Yeah.
Why? I don't know why we didn't come up with something like that.
I know.
That is genius.
It's genius.
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 Genius, John.
Genius. Jesus Christ.
I got a couple of quick science stories. Get this, John. Yeah. Moderate drinkers. Would you consider yourself a moderate drinker?
Yeah, I guess.
Moderate
yeah.
drinkers end up better thinkers. Oh. Moderate drinkers have been found to be better thinkers than heavy drinkers.
That went my way.
And those who do not drink at all, according to an Australian National University research. In the study of more than 7,000 people, age 20 to 24, 40 to 44, 60 to 64, participants were asked about their alcohol use and to perform a series of tests to measure cognition, verbal skills, memory, and speed of thinking.
Wow.
And then I don't have the rest of the story. So I'm assuming that, you do better if you drink moderately.
Great.
Last science story. Bicycle helmets may backfire. Do you know why, John?
No.
Bicycle helmets may backfire because they encourage cars to drive closer to the cyclist.
What?
Theory. Wearing a helmet makes you look like you know what you're doing, so drivers assume you can operate in tighter space. Evidence. A traffic psychologist rode a sensory-equipped bike around Britain, and when he wore a helmet, cars passed more than 3 inches closer on average than when he didn't. He was also hit by two vehicles while wearing the helmet. Bonus finding. When he dressed as a woman, drivers gave him more than 5 inches of extra space. Psychologist interpretation. Helmets protect you in low-speed tumble, but may backfire in serious car traffic. Accident prevention groups rebuttal. Wear your helmet and we'll educate drivers to give you more space.
Wow.
So if you do ride your bike, leave the helmet at home.
That's got to hurt. That's going to leave a mark.
That is going to leave a mark.
Well, we're going to have to run to part three in about 2 minutes.
All right, then. 2 minutes, part three.
So we should wrap it up.
We should wrap it up. We read at 38?
Yes.
That's what you're saying?
That's what I'm saying. And 3, 4, 5, 6 seconds.
Well, I got one more story about atheists. Because you and I, John, we're atheists.
No, I thought you were a deist.
I flip-flop. I flip back and forth.
Oh, you're a flip-flopper.
Yeah, I'm a flip-flopper.
Like John Kerry.
Yeah, and I was listening to Penn podcast, and he had, Howie Mandel. Howie Mandel on?
Yeah.
And Howie Mandel's the host of some show.
He's Jewish.
Some game show. Have you ever seen that game show? Yeah. What is it called?
Who Wants
Deal or
to
No
be
Deal
yeah,
or something?
Deal or No Deal.
And Howie Mandel was telling a story about this woman who came on, and she picked number 17. I don't know how the game works. I've never seen it. But she picked 17, and they tried to make her all these other offers, and she would not budge. And this has never happened on the show before.
Yeah.
And he said during one of the breaks, he's like,
you want me to set it up, what she did?
You're really set on 17. What do you mean, set it up, what she did?
Yeah, what the 17 is that she picked?
Well, I know what the 17 is that she picked.
You said you didn't know what the game's about.
Yeah, I don't know what the game's about, but apparently you pick some box, and he tries to get you to pick other boxes, and it's based on probability, and you try to walk away with as much money as you can. So she would not budge from 17, and during the break, he said, hey, I'm just curious. Nothing we've offered you won't budge. And she said, last night, the Lord Jesus came into my hotel room, and he sat on my bed, and he said, pick 17.
Wow.
And then he left. So I'm staying on 17. So eventually, throughout the show, Howie Mandel was able to sway her off of 17 into some other number.
Yeah.
And the top prize you can win on the show is $1 million.
Right.
Guess what was behind 17?
$1 million.
$1 million.
Yeah.
proof that God exists. So now I'm flipping back
to... No, you kind of screwed it up.
Deist. I'm back to being a deist.
You kind of screwed the story up.
How could I screw the story up?
He doesn't tell her to do anything else. She has to narrow it down by picking the other boxes. And it gets to a point where she can win a certain amount of money that's in that 17 case. And there's a guy trying to buy it off of her. And she picked a buyout.
Right. She picked a buyout.
And you're right. It was 17. And then Howie's response after that was that it taught her she should have faith.
Right. Because she lost her faith.
Right. It's faith-based, so... She should have never let it go. She would have been a millionaire. She'd have just listened to Jesus Christ.
Who showed up in her hotel room.
And sat on her
the
bed.
The night before. And sat on her bed.
Well, he's well, not Jesus, but his dad's been here.
Well, yeah, his dad's
next
been
to
here.
You.
Of course. Well, I have never seen him.
Oh,
I mean,
really?
He just makes his presence known through his voice.
Well, it's really weird because I never have a sensation that he's here or it.
It?
Well, I guess I assumed he was a he because I asked him if he had a penis.
Right.
I should have asked if he had a vagina.
A vagina.
A vagina.
A lot of vagina.
Oh, that would be blasphemous.
So anyway, this thing came out in Newsweek, The New Naysayers, and it talks about how 70% of the people after September 11th are comforted with some sort of religion, some sort of spirituality.
Really?
Yeah.
Because I went totally the other way.
But, yeah, and then they talk about this one guy who, just like us, went totally the other way, a 34-year-old graduate student in neuroscience.
Neuro.
Had a different reaction. He began a book, and he reasoned young men were slaughtering people in the name of religion, something that had been going on since before 2001, of course, then perhaps the problem was religion itself.
Was his name Sam Harris?
His name was Sam Harris. The book would be called The End of Faith, which to most Americans probably sounds like a lament. To Harris, it is something to be encouraged. But atheists, John, are seen as a threat to the American way of life by a large portion of the American public, according to some poll. Americans said they believe in God by a margin of 92-6. Only 2% answered don't know, and only 37% said they'd be willing to vote for an atheist for president. That's down from 49% in 1999, John, which also found that more Americans would vote for a homosexual than an atheist.
Wow. That's
so
fucked up.
Currently, that's why I put myself on the deist side, John. I wonder what... If a deist would be more popular than a homosexual. Because atheists sure aren't.
Well, you imply then that there's some sort of supreme being.
Yes.
As opposed to nothing at all.
But what is that? What is that? I can get away from traditional gods, and maybe it's something else. Something that we can't even wrap our minds around. That could be the supreme being, John.
Right. Right. All right. Well, is that it?
That's it for me.
All right.
It for me, baby.
Let's take it to part three. You've been listening to John and Scott. We'll be right back.
That was part two. Now stay tuned for...
Part three. Part three.
Just one last quick way.
At Total Talk Nonsense with Sean and Scott.